I want you to note the sign that is up on the board there, folks. You're entering a Sharia-controlled zone. Islamic rules enforced. These signs can be found in some areas of the United States of America. Okay? And so we need to talk about Sharia law. What law are we under? The Constitution of the United States of America. That is our law, okay? And that law has not been replaced. That law has not been revoked. That law has not been abolished. We are still under the United States of America. Under the Constitution of the United States of America. Let's talk first about some introductory material. If you want to just set your notes aside, that's fine with me. You don't even have to look at them, and that way you can just listen. Okay. Somebody tell me what a theocracy is. A theocracy.
A religious controlled government.
A religious controlled government. Sort of, kind of, but not really. Sort of, kind of.
Like Catholicism.
Huh?
Like Catholicism.
Sort of, kind of, yeah. Folks, a theocracy is a rule of law wherein God is the head of the state. Okay? Wherein God is the head of the state. In reality, there has only ever been one true theocracy. Why do I say that? Judaism. Okay, notice that third point, the Jews lived under a theocracy. Why do I say there's only ever been one true theocracy? Yes, because there's really only one God, right? And there's only ever been one time that this one God established a nation and controlled it by rule of law and was its king. Okay? So, in reality, there's only ever been one theocracy. Notice the point, second point. His laws govern both the political and religious components of the nation. Okay, so when there is a theocracy, God controls everything. Okay, from politics all the way down to you as an individual and all that is in between. Okay? The question that we ask is this: is Christianity a theocracy? And you already see the answer because I don't want anybody answering wrong. No. No. Why? The answer is up there. Okay? Why aren't we a theocracy? Okay, why isn't Christianity, though, a theocracy? Because we are not an earthly kingdom. Folks, Jesus again said, "My kingdom is not of this world. For my kingdom were of this world, then my servants fight. But now is my kingdom not from hence." John 18, verse 36. So it's not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And over that spiritual kingdom, yes, Jesus Christ is the head. Note that. The head, isn't he? For he is the head of the body, the church, Colossians 1:18. And folks, the body and the church and the kingdom are all one. Okay? They're all one. And Jesus Christ is over all of it. But it is not a theocracy in the sense of its being a what? An earthly kingdom. Okay? It's a spiritual kingdom. Now, that means that we're going to have to go on just a little bit farther. What's wrong with the field? Boy, I'm having troubles today, aren't I? Can't believe this. Nothing's going to work. Turn it off. I may need a battery. That's a Delco. I'm telling you what, I'm a little upset. Nothing's working. Boy, this ain't going to be good. You just going to have to listen to me preach tonight. I know. Oh, no. You got that right. I don't know what the deal is.
When we were studying with Hebrews, I made the point the Jewish nation had civil laws, real estate laws, and health laws.
Because, see, he established that as a political system. Okay, when God is involved in the politics of a nation, okay, in the sense that we're talking about an earthly government, okay, then yes, he's going to legislate everything. Okay, but because we're not, he does not have to legislate all those things. Okay, all right. I'm sorry, I don't know what the deal is. I'm not a computer techie, and I have no clue.
The
what key? I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just going to start her over again and see if it'll work. Tell you what, get a preacher frustrated. Okay, I spend 10 hours working on this PowerPoint stuff and then it doesn't work. Now, that'll just make you, that'll aggravate you. All right, one more time and I'm going to stop. Okay? Already, and I didn't touch the thing. What is the deal, man?
Look in the bathroom.
Killing me.
There you go.
Killing me. Look at that. No. I got a lot to cover. I mean, we got an hour and a half of stuff. I can't, you know, this right here I can't do all night long. Oh, are you kidding me? That's it? Get your notes out. Follow me. We got a lot to cover. Okay? I hate it. Folks, God did create government. Okay? When we turn over to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, we won't read the whole text, but notice what it says. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. Okay? Now, the church is not an earthly kingdom, but God did establish all of the earthly kingdoms. Okay? God is the one who institutes every government. He institutes them and he brings them down if he so desires. He's in complete control of all of that. He is the God of the universe. Okay? And in these governments, God commands us to do what? Submit to the laws of the rulers, folks. Genesis 1:1. That's what capital G. No. Turn over to let's look down at 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 and 14. Submit yourselves to what? Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, or to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So God institutes the government and then he tells us to do what? Obey the laws. Now, there is a little caveat on that. Everybody gets all bent out of shape, you know, because I haven't put it in here. Okay, if the laws are immoral, if the laws go against the law of God, what do you not do? You don't have to obey them. Okay, we know that. All right, but folks, if it doesn't go against the law of God, okay, then guess what? We have to obey them. 55 mile an hour speed limit. I don't like 55. I don't care. Die and go to hell then. See, we don't think like that, do we? God said what? Obey the laws. That law does not conflict with the law of God. And you won't obey it, then guess what? You have violated a law of God. To obey who? The laws of the land. That's how important this stuff is. And we don't think like that. Okay? God will forgive me if I go 70. He understands I need to get to places. You know, I got a heavy foot. You know, unbelievable. We better be careful, haven't y'all? Get that thing fixed.
You just need to work on it right back.
All right, good. Maybe he'll get it done. I hope so. Now, folks, okay, here we are. We're in government, right? Got a government over us. We're to submit to them. How then do you and I influence our government. Vote. Any other ways? Is that the only thing I can do? Pray. Participate in government. Okay, write to your ones that are in authority, right? Okay, and folks, every time we do that, every time we vote, every time we call them, every time we write, every time we involve ourselves in the process, we are trying to influence our government in righteousness, aren't we? Isn't that what we're trying to do? Okay, because we know that the Bible says that righteousness, what? Exalts a nation. But folks, sin is a reproach unto any people. Okay, so we're trying to influence our society. Proverbs 14:34. Okay, we also understand that God will turn all nations into hell that do what? That forget God. Folks, that's pretty powerful. Okay, that's found in Psalm 9, verse 17. If I were in a leadership position in our nation, I think I would have that passage put up everywhere. Okay, if I admitted I believed in God, I'd have that passage everywhere. Okay, God will turn all nations into hell that forget God. Okay, so I don't want to do that. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to legislate in any way. I don't want to support anything. I don't want to do anything that turns me away from who? From God. Okay, I don't want to be responsible for that. Okay, now, true or false? Christianity, therefore, seeks to take over the nation's government. No, we don't seek to do that. See, we're not a what? We're not a theocracy. Did you get it? You're going to try, okay? Ooh, he's even got me where I'm supposed to be. Wow, that gets me excited. So, here we are, we're in the United States of America, and the one thing that Christianity will never do is try to go into Washington, D.C. and try to overthrow the U.S. Constitution and implement whatever we're supposed to implement to rule this nation, will we? We'll never do that, okay? And, folks, is there some wisdom that you see in this? What's the wisdom that God has in this?
That Christianity comes under the government's laws allow free practice.
Absolutely. If that government allows free practice of religion, then we are free to practice our religion anywhere in the world, aren't we? Okay? This isn't working. Well, I know. See, a while ago. There you go. That's working. Go see if that. Do we have a battery that small?
Yes.
Not just one. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. Folks, there's Christianity. Islam, on the other hand, is guess what? Islam is a theocracy. Okay? Allah rules all. Okay? All. And when I say all, he rules all through Sharia law. That's how he does it. All right, listen to this statement. The Islamic cult does not recognize any form of government instituted by man. Only a government that follows the laws of Allah. Such as the government of Saudi Arabia that forbids the existence of any religion other than Islam. And arrests and prosecutes anyone who wears a cross and carries a Bible. It's pretty potent, isn't it? Is it working? Well, give it a shot. Okay. What's that? Bible's what?
Corrupt.
Bible's corrupt. This has got to. This old boy here is about to get frustrated. Well, yeah. Huh? We'll see.
Isn't
What's that now?
It's kind of there.
You have to be careful. Remember, one of the principles of Islam is they can lie to you. Right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we believe the Bible. The problem is the Bible you've got is not the Bible. The Bible you've got has been corrupted by Christians and Jews. You know? What I'd like to ask them is, would you show me a true copy of the Bible? You say you believe in it. You don't accept mine. Okay? So guess what I want to see from you? I want to see a true copy of the Bible. Don't you? And guess what they'll never do, folks? They'll never produce it. Okay? They'll never. So they hate the Bible. They'll tell you, oh, we love the Bible. They hate the Bible. Okay? Boy, I'll tell you this later if I don't forget it. Okay? Maybe I won't. Listen to this next statement, folks. This is not up here. It's in your notes. Okay? Without Sharia, Islam could not have survived, especially in conquered lands. Islam has now become Sharia, and Sharia has become Islam. Folks, the two are what? They're inseparable. It's just like us, isn't it? The United States of America is the Constitution, and the Constitution is the United States of America. Isn't that right? Anywhere you go, if you take the United States Constitution and you implement it, guess what you're going to have? The United States of America, as far as the government is concerned, aren't you? May have different states, may have different territories, whatever you call them, but you're still going to have the same law. Okay? And the same is true with Islam. Okay? She continues and makes this statement. All right? They are inseparable for survival. If Islam is a policeman, Sharia is his gun. Okay? That's pretty good. Keep that thought in your mind. The only way for it to be practiced as it should is by overtaking the government of a nation and implementing Sharia law. Okay? It's the only way that they can truly practice Sharia law. Isn't that right? They can't truly practice Sharia law here, not in all aspects, because Sharia law doesn't rule this nation. They really want to practice it. Guess what they're going to have to do? Take over. Okay? They're going to have to take over. This is the goal for those who are Islamists, extremists, or terrorists within the Islamic religion. That's their desire, folks, and they'll tell you that in a heartbeat. Okay? They'll tell you that in a heartbeat. Now, remember, we make these big distinctions between Islamists, terrorists, right, and the, quote, moderates. Okay? The reality, though, is that even the moderates desire what? Sharia law. Look at that next statement. For more moderate Muslims want to practice it in their family life and will push it as far as they can in the circles wherein they operate. Work, schools, recreation, etc. Okay? They may not go out and blow up anything. They may not go out and try to infiltrate the government. They may not do something crazy as far as violence is concerned. But every place they can stir a stink and implement Sharia law, guess what? They will. Okay? If they think they can, they will. Folks, there's a bunch of them who are bold enough, aren't they? Okay? Don't think it can't happen. Because he can. All right, let's keep going. Any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
All things about the numbers are not right.
That's true. That's exactly right. Okay? They're not very big right now. But you let them get 3, 7, 8, 10%, you're going to see a totally different face of Islam. Okay? Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the definition of Sharia. Okay? The word Sharia is what kind of a word? Arabic. Y'all are learning something in this class. I'm unbelievable. Glad you didn't say Greek or something like that. Yeah, it's Arabic, folks. And let me ask you this. What was Muhammad before he became the leader of Islam? He was a shepherd, wasn't he? This term comes from his shepherding experiences. Okay? Here's what the definition of the word is. Path to a watering hole. That's the literal definition. Now, we don't laugh. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the New Testament, Christianity is referred to as the way. That's what that is, folks. The path. The way. Okay? So, you know, we say the same thing, right? Path to a watering hole. What does water do for you? Water provides life, does it not? What does the Word of God do for us? It provides life, doesn't it? And it leads us to the source of life. And that's what this is. The pathway. The path to be followed. The path upon which the believer has to tread. The way to the source of life. That's what Sharia law is. Okay? And so when they say Sharia, we think, ooh, how bad. And when a Muslim hears it, he thinks, ooh, the way to what? The way to life. You see, it's all in perception, isn't it? Okay? We look at it as just a horrible thing. They don't, folks. Listen to what the Quran has to say. Okay? Here's a quote. Then we put thee on the Sharia, the right way. Okay? Of religion. So follow then that Sharia. I'm trying to get you talking Arabic. That's what that word way is. And notice this next one. And follow not the desires of those who know not. Okay? That comes from the Quran. Very interesting. Chapter 45, verse 18. There are several derivatives of the word Sharia found within the Quran. Okay? These aren't up here on the slide, but you have them in your notes. Okay? Sharaha. He ordained. Surah 45:13. Surayu. They declared a law. Surah 42:21. Saratun. Spiritual law. Surah 5:48. Saratun. Not much difference, is there? A system of divine law, the way in practice. Or the belief in the way of belief in practice, Surah 45, verse 18. It's similar to our word faith. Okay? When we talk about the faith, the system, the body of doctrine, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Okay? Earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints, Jude, verse 3. The system of faith, the body of faith, the gospel. That's the way they look at Sharia as well. Okay? It can be looked at as individual laws, or it can be looked at as the entire system of faith. Okay? The main difference between their law and the law of Christ is the fact that the law of Christ does not try to infiltrate our government. And overthrow. Okay? Because doesn't the gospel infiltrate a lot of our lives? Does it infiltrate our home life? Does it tell us anything about our work life? Oh yeah. Tells us a lot. Does it tell anything about our relationships with others? Yeah. You see, it speaks to a lot of areas of life, but it doesn't establish a what? A government. There's the big difference. Okay? Because it's not an earthly kingdom, and we need to keep that in perspective. Notice this definition. This is very interesting. Point E, a long, diverse, complicated, intellectual tradition, rather than a well-defined set of specific rules and regulations that can easily be applied to life situations. Okay, now, that leads us to the next point, the sources of Sharia. Okay, now remember, he said it's a long, complicated, intellectual set of rules. Okay? Folks, it is not just the primary sources. Okay? We've talked about the primary sources as far as the authority for Islam, haven't we? What are they? Number one, the Quran. And number two, the example and sayings of Muhammad, right? The Sunnah, the Hadith. Okay? The sayings and the example of Muhammad. Folks, all of those things right there, yes, are included in Sharia. Okay? But there's more to it than that. Okay? Very, very interesting. There are secondary sources that have made up this thing called Sharia. What I would love to do is resurrect Muhammad. Okay? For about an hour. Not long. Don't want him alive too long. Okay? for about an hour, and I'd like for him just to examine Sharia. Okay? Just examine Sharia law and have him tell us, is this really what you wanted? Because, folks, the reality is the only thing that Muhammad knew he's given is what? The Quran. Okay? The Quran. That's what he knew that I'm giving you from God. All right? The hadiths and the sunnah, the sayings and the examples and all of those things, many of those things are just a collection from all the other Muslims. Okay? So that's kind of scary, isn't it? Secondary sources. Look at what we've got down there. Fiqh jurisprudence interprets and extends the applications of Sharia law to questions not directly addressed in the primary sources. Let me give you an illustration. Does the Bible anywhere specifically address the topic of gambling? Thou shalt not gamble. Oh, so now all y'all going to run out here and buy a lottery ticket when you leave. Is that what you're going to do? No. Because you see, the Bible does address big, broad, general principles that can be applied to the subject of gambling, like thou shalt not covet. Right? Folks, that's exactly what gambling is, isn't it? $300 million in the lottery. Woo, what I could do with that money. And you start lusting after it. Run out there and buy you a $5 ticket so you can get something for nothing. See? And the Bible also teaches the concept of W-O-R-K, work. If a man will not play the lottery, neither shall he eat. Is that what your Bible says? No, the Bible says if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Okay? God never expected us to go out and waste all our money on lottery tickets trying to win something so I don't ever have to work again. Okay? See, these are the broad principles. Well, this fiqh jurisprudence, these are schools of thought within Islam that have taken all of these different principles found in the hadiths, found in the Quran, and they have applied them to certain situations in the lives of men and women. Okay? Now, there's a problem with that. Ready? Look at point A and B. There are four schools of thought of fiqh within the Sunni Muslims. And there are two schools of thought within the Shiite Muslims. In other words, they don't agree with themselves. Okay? When they get rid of us, the unbelievers, guess what they now have? A few. They got to fight among themselves. Why? Whose law is going to be implemented, right? First of all, is it going to be the Sunni or Shiites? And then, which school of thought is going to prevail in this land? Okay? And so, just be aware that that's part of it. Okay? Notice this next one. Consensus of religious scholars in what's known as the Ijma. Okay? Through the years, you've got these scholars that have looked at the law, interpreted the law, given rulings on the law, given teachings on the law, and folks, guess what? All of that is considered in this Sharia law as well. Okay? Wouldn't you love to just see how big the Sharia law is? You know, would you just show me all the volumes of Sharia law? Because I bet it's pretty potent. You know, I bet it's pretty big. And what's interesting, though, look right in that particular section there. Various schools of thought within Islamic jurisprudence may define this consensus as that of the first generation Muslims only. See? So now we've got divisions within this section, don't we? Do we just take the scholars of the first century of Islam? Or do we take the scholars in all of Islam? Who do we take as far as their rulings and interpretations are concerned? Okay? So there's a lot of division within this second point as well. Third, watch this. Imams have influence over Sharia law. Who are imams? We haven't talked about them much. Yes, these are the mosque priests, the mosque pastors, okay? You want to call them that? The mosque preachers, right? Folks, you get over in one of these radical nations, okay? Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, and you get one of these men who are powerful, one of these imams who's listened to by many people, including the other imams around, and he stands in the pulpit one Friday and he pops off about driving the Jews into the Mediterranean Sea. Guess what? Everybody starts listening. Okay? Because he's powerful. And he's influential. And, watch this, so are the rulers of the Islamic nations. Ahmadinejad. Folks, when he speaks, guess who listens? All Muslims listen. But he helps determine what some of this Sharia law is. Okay? Now, think about that. Sharia law, therefore, has been developed all through the what? All through the generations. And guess what? It is still being developed. Okay? And they can enter into almost any situation, take Islamic law, and do what? Make application of it in a certain situation. Okay? It's unbelievable. Folks, there are the sources for Sharia law. Now, you can buy books and books and books just on that. I've given you the Victor Eskew Kindergarten Edition. Okay? Because it can get very involved. Alright? Especially when you get in these schools of thought and things. Okay? Alright, let's notice about the topics of Sharia law. Alright? I got two quotes for you. Number one, the most important aspect of Sharia law is the total control. Got that? Might want to underline that. The total control of the large and diverse Muslim empire. Everyone's behavior, loyalty, mind, and even what? Soul. Okay? Unbelievable, isn't it? Even your, all the way down to you, from what? From your behavior to your soul. Watch this next one. Sharia is characterized as a complete way of life, folks. Okay? Now, when I say complete way of life, watch this. Social, cultural, military, religious, and political. Are there any in that list that stand out to you that concern you? Political does. Anything else? Military does. Huh?
Every bit of it.
Every bit of it? Okay. Yeah. But you see, there's... Is Christianity an entire, complete way of life? Yeah. Okay. But it's not a what? It's not a military system. And it's not a political system. Does it control the forces of culture if it is allowed to thrive? Yes. It has something to say about culture, doesn't it? You know, we're living in a pretty corrupt culture right now, aren't we? Okay? And, but if we follow God's will, this culture would straighten itself up. Does it talk about social things? How we behave and act one toward another? Oh, yes, it does. Does it have anything to do with the religious aspect of life? Boy, sure. But it doesn't control the military. It doesn't control the politics of the land. There's big differences between Christianity and Islamic law. Okay? Notice that it governs from where to where? Cradle to the grave, folks. Okay? Now, I've just got in your notes some areas wherein Sharia law legislates. Okay? Purification, prayer, funeral prayer, alms, fasting, pilgrimage, trade, inheritance, marriage, polygamy, divorce, child custody, legal and court proceedings, penalties, leaving Islam or apostasy, dietary, liquor and gambling, customs, hygiene, rituals, dress code. Folks, it's all in there. Okay? It's all in Sharia.
Where did the split come where they're called?
died unexpectedly, right? And there were two schools of thought that developed as to who should be the rightful leader. Remember? At that time. Some thought that the leader needs to be bloodline. Some thought that, oh no, it doesn't need to be bloodline, it needs to be what? Someone chosen, okay, by the council, by a group of individuals within Islam, okay? Because they had two people in mind, didn't they? They had a son-in-law and a father-in-law, okay? Father-in-law wasn't bloodline. Son-in-law was also a cousin, which made him bloodline, okay? And so there's where the division came, and they've been fighting over it ever since, okay? Ever since, as far as their two schools of thought, okay? And it's pretty intense when we're not around, okay? As long as we're around, they group up together, and they act like they're united, and they're under one front, the Quran. And the reality is, folks, you know, and see, that's where, if you know a few things, you can talk to one, can't you? Okay? And you ask them, you know, is the Quran the only rule of life that you consider Sharia law? Guess what they have to answer? No. No. There's the Hadith. There's the Sunnah. There are the interpretations. Okay? There are the concepts given to us by the scholars. There are the edicts of the imams. There are the proclamations of the rulers. All of those things go into Sharia. So the Quran is not the only thing. Okay? So you ask a guy, well, are you a Sunni or are you a Shiite? Boy, he knows right now, you already know something. Right? Okay? So he tells you, well, I'm a Sunni. Well, which school of thought do you follow with regard to the Sharia law? Oh man, he knows you definitely know something now. Okay? Because they don't want you to know all this stuff. Okay? All right, let's talk about some categories of human behavior. These are found within Sharia law. And I'm just going to go through these very, very quickly. Number one, there are the obligatory things. Okay? They call those the farz. These are the have-tos. Remember those five pillars of Islam? Remember those? Those are have-tos, folks. Okay? No getting around that. I've listed those for you. The five daily prayers, fasting, articles of faith, their contributions, the Hajj, the trip down to Mecca. Those are have-tos, okay, for the most part. Second one, they recommended things, okay? Proper behavior in marriage, funeral rites, family life, the recommended things. And then there are the neutral things. Okay, you can do it if you want to. Don't necessarily have to. You know, it's not really wrong if you do. Can anybody remember what one of those might be? How about divorce? Is that kind of a neutral thing? God what? Allah hates it, but it's lawful. It's the only lawful thing that Allah hates. Okay? You know, it's kind of a neutral thing, you know. And then there's other things that are discouraged, okay? Not sinful in itself, but is considered undesirable for a Muslim, okay? And then lastly, there are the forbidden things. And those are the sinful things and the criminal things, okay? So four, five different types of behavior within Islam. And a lot of what falls under each category is determined by what? Which school of thought that you follow, okay? One school of thought is very liberal, okay? And another school of thought is extremely strict. Okay, so depending on which school of thought you follow, okay, depends on which category of human behavior that you'll engage in, okay? And, you know, that happens in a lot of things, doesn't it? Okay, it happens even in religious groups, don't we? We have conservative churches and we have liberal churches. And is the behavior in the two groups different? I'm telling you. But they both claim to do what? Follow the Bible. Okay, unbelievable. Okay, what are you going to say?
Do they kind of, it seems almost tricky.
Acknowledge one another. Oh yes, as brothers, as Muslims. Okay, until they get together, and then they have problems. And there's warfare all the time between them. Huh? His what? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
That kind of like we are with the denomination, we recognize Christians, but not per se.
It's not really similar because these two individuals, you know, they both recognize Muhammad as supreme, and they both recognize each other as Muslims, okay? And they're just know there's a lot of problems, okay? They present this, and this is why I'm giving you this, they present this to you folks as a unified front, and it's not, okay? It's only unified to take over. And once they take over this nation, there's going to be fighting and bloodshed between themselves throughout the nation, just like there are over in their own countries. Okay, they fight all the time in those nations. All right? All right, let's go to this next one. Sharia in the United States of America. Folks, this is a powerful quote right here. If implemented in its entirety, that's talking about Sharia law, it will overthrow the United States Constitution, the constitutions of the states, and the local charters that govern our society. It'll all be gone. Okay? None of that will be the rule of law if Sharia law is instituted. We just need to understand that. Sadly, our rulers act like they don't get that. You know what? They act like, nah, it's just a religion. No, it's not.
It's a...
Well, that's what we're going to talk about now. Okay? Or exactly what some of the things. We can't get into it just real deep. Okay? Folks, one of the biggest... You know, the Muslims are very small in the United States as far as number of in population, 7 million out of 333 million. That's not very many people, okay? So they're not going to be on the verge of just outright overthrow of the nation, all right? But that doesn't mean they're not at work, okay? That doesn't mean that they're just sitting over here silent and love our nation and doing everything that we want done here. That doesn't mean that at all. Okay? They are working, and they are working hard within our nation. And one of the most interesting things that we have in the United States of America is known as a Sharia enclave. Okay? A Sharia enclave. Notice the definition. These efforts are designed to create Islamic autonomous, what's that mean?
Self-governing.
Self-governing, not U.S. governing. Self-governing areas, often with the express desire of incrementally bringing the host country completely under Sharia-based government. They know what they're doing, folks. Okay? Take over this little area. Take over that little area. Take over this little area. And guess what? Before long, you got a bunch of areas, don't you? That are what? Autonomous. Self-governed. Under what? Sharia law. Not constitutional law. Sharia law. Oh, surely this is not happening in the United States of America. Oh, yes. Let's look at some examples, sir. Sure.
Plus, they have already appointed, I don't know how many Muslims, into the cabinets of our United States. So they're like an octopus. They're already grabbed hold of us.
Oh, yeah. And that's what we're talking
about.
Sure, that's what we're talking about right here. Okay? Right here. Notice this, folks. Dearborn, Michigan. Okay? A Sharia enclave. Okay? Right outside of where? Detroit, right? Not far from Detroit. Okay? Dearborn, Michigan, a Sharia enclave. Okay? Number two, a place called Gwin Oak in Baltimore, Maryland. Sharia enclave. Number three, Little Rock, Arkansas. There is a Sharia enclave within Little Rock. You'd think the South would know better, wouldn't you? Pitiful. Look at this next one. Islamburg, New York. Now that sounds kind of Sharia-like, doesn't it? You know, that's pretty bold. Welcome to Islamburg. Okay? I wonder what we're going into, Maul. You know? Islamburg. Folks, there's a sign. When you enter into Islamburg, and this is what it has under it. Welcome to Holy Islamburg, the International Quranic Open University. Think that ain't true? Yes, it is. There's the sign. You heard that? Here's your sign. Okay, right here we are. Look at that. The International Quranic Open University. Everything done in there is what? Sharia. Everything. Cops don't go in there. Cops don't go in any of these places.
They can't go in there, or they don't go in there?
They don't. They do not.
Are they afraid?
Oh, yes.
What if you went in and took a Bible?
I'd be dead. I'd be beheaded. I'd let you go with me. Here, take over. I'd run. I'm just kidding. Do what?
If you went in there, the police wouldn't do anything about it.
They're not going in there.
If one of us went in there with the Bible and we were killed, the police would not come in and do anything about it.
It might go to court, and guess what? It wouldn't get very far. Just wouldn't get very far. Okay.
That's where we're going
on. But see, here's the deal. Guess what we're not going to do? We are not going in there, are we? And guess what? The police are not going in there. So guess what? We don't have these problems. Right? And what we ought to do is just mount up about 50 buses and just go into the town, hadn't we? Start knocking doors, handing out tracts, converting a few Muslims. Okay? We're not going to do that. Okay?
How long has that town been established there in New York?
I'd have to go back and look. Quite a while now. Several years.
Decades?
Sir?
Decades?
No, not decades. No, not that long. Just several years. I don't know the exact date of establishment, but that sign is there, folks. Okay, you just drive right through. Okay, pretty interesting, isn't it?
Do they let infidels in?
Not very often. Okay, they'll even stop. There's a small. I told you about this. There's a small Islamic community in Dover, Arkansas. Okay. And folks, these folks, you know, it's not like they're violating all these laws, you know, of the United States. Their own little community, while they're in their community, they abide by Sharia law. When they come out, go to the store, you know, go do whatever they have to do in town, they're going to abide by our rules, okay? They're not big enough. All in their mind is that when I drive in here, guess what? This is all Sharia. See? This is all Allah. And they know that in their mind. And UPS, they stop them at the front.
They have a gate.
You got a package? Yep, got a package. Need to get this to Saddam Hussein. Well, you can just leave that package right here with us and we'll take it to you. And guess what? UPS man never gets in. Okay? Yes, sir?
Whose tax dollars built these roads and all these different things is that?
Ours did.
That's
kind
of
sure, ours did. He didn't go in there either. They'll distribute their own mail for the most part. Okay. Now, if it's a lot of these, like one of these places own like 110 homes. You know, I'm not talking about whole cities yet. Okay, I'm talking about little neighborhoods. Like a subdivision. Okay, yeah, right now. Within these big cities. Okay. Dearborn, Michigan is probably the biggest of all of them. Okay. Oh, yeah. And that's because our government is tolerant, friendly toward Muslims. Folks, I didn't tell you this a while ago. I'm just going to tell you right now. It is against the law to burn a Quran. You can burn all the Bibles you want to in the United States of America. Did you know that?
Yeah, against American law.
American law now.
When they pass it.
Okay. I read that today. I'd have to go back and look at when it happened. But yeah, if they wanted to push it, you know, they wouldn't do it. If you burn one, they're not going to, you know, because you get taken to court, or you take it to court, freedom of speech, you know, and all that would be, it'd be fought big time, and they know that. So they're not gonna really bother us yet, but it's there, okay? And yet, you can burn all the Bibles you want to. Chris, you had a question?
I was going to say that place you were talking about is long ago, it was 1980.
That's when it was established, 1980. So that's, what, 33 years? That's pretty good time, isn't it? Okay, pretty good time. Guys, this is a group right here. This is not a person, this is a group, okay? Us, Sabakun, okay? A group that is right here in the United States of America. Here's their purpose. They are leading the effort to establish Islamic communities, enclaves, in the U.S. of A. Okay? You go to their website. You can look it up. Go to their website. On their website is their purpose statement, their mission statement. You ready for it? Here it is. Through our work and sacrifice, we hope to become a model Islamic community. Now watch this. We define an Islamic community as one which is self-sufficient, independent, get that? Independent, and what? Well-guided. We're not very well-guided in the U.S. You got the Constitution and the Bible. You aren't very well-guided. We want something that's well-guided. What's that? Sharia law. They put it in there. That's what they mean. Okay? Look what they're going to say. A community in which brotherhood and sisterhood is clearly defined and practiced. Get that? Brotherhood and sisterhood is clearly defined and practiced. Are you a part of the Muslim Brotherhood? Are you a brother or sister of the Muslims? No, you're not. And they want that clearly defined. And guess what else they want in that community? They want it practiced in that community. So guess what you don't find? You don't find us in there. Okay? Look what they're going to say. Watch this. This is where it's big right here, folks. This is what you got to get a hold of. We do not, however, limit ourselves by defining community. Now, when we think of a community, I live in a little community over here, okay, don't I? Just across the intercoastal called Covenant Creek. Little community there that I'm in. You know, used to be named little communities, didn't we? Dixie, Brooklyn, you just had little communities everywhere. Some places still do that, okay? I know when I was growing up, you know, we didn't live in the real nice community, okay? And it was all Memphis, right? Whitehaven, Raleigh, those were the communities, but we didn't live in those. But look what he said. That's not how they define community. We do not, however, limit ourselves by defining community as one geographical location. Instead, we intend to establish, with the help of Allah, multiple, what's that word? Masjid or masjid centered communities. Mosque centered communities. Okay? Across the what? Across the country. Folks, to them, guess what the community is? The U.S. of A. That's what the community is. See? Well, you know, that's why people think, well, it's just a little community over there. You don't know how they define community. Okay? 50 states are their community. That's what they want. Now, we're going to start with one model one. But guess what? That's just one. And we're going to do our dead level best with the help of Allah to establish as many as we can in the United States of America. Shoo-wee. That's scary, folks. I don't know about you. That kind of put some chills up my spine. Okay? Didn't put this up on the board, but I want you to hear this. The most successful organization in the enclave movement within the U.S. is Muslims of the Americas. The group boasts of having 22 villages around this country, some with dozens of acres in their possession. 32, that's the largest organization. There's two or three different organizations, okay, that are trying to establish these Islamic communities, these enclaves, 32 in the United States. You know, that's just in one organization. You think there may be one in each state? You know, we really got to counting them. You think there might be two in each state? Man. And folks, time to them means nothing. You know, time means nothing to them. You know, we think, well, nothing. You know, they just added two over the last 4 years. But guess what they did? They added two. That's what they know. And they're tickled to death. Well, they just added 14 in 20 years. So they added what? 14. See, they're not concerned about time. They know that time will pass. And as time passes, we just keep what? We just keep growing. That's what they know. Pretty slick. Kind of scary, isn't it? Okay? So those are the Sharia enclaves, okay? Now, you think those things are going to take a lot of time to develop? Yeah. How many of you have really heard of all these Sharia enclaves? Just raise your hand. Ain't that something? One, two, just a couple of people. Here we are, 30 or 40 people in this audience, and guess what? Most of us haven't even heard of these things. There you go. See? They're all over, folks. You know? It's amazing.
I only knew about one of them in Michigan.
Okay? Yeah. See, just one. You know, that's one. I mean, that concerns me, but it's a long way from me. You know? There's others. Yes, sir.
Do they have the status themselves? Like, I don't know. Let them know. I mean, pretty much everything that they're going to do with Calvary is going to be practiced. Because
not really. What they do is they just go in as families and start what? Buying up the property. Okay? Right now, you go through our little subdivision there, and there's probably five or six homes for sale. And so they go into a community, and they just start buying them up. And all of a sudden, guess what? They own them all. And the next thing you know, they go to the front, and what do they put on there? We own the association. We are Islam Bird Community. Change the name, and here we are. Right? No, it's just, you go, man, you know? Oh, yeah, that's Dearborn. Yeah, that's Dearborn. Okay? But, folks, these enclaves, they're very, once you know they're there, okay, and you start opening your eyes, they're very open, aren't they? Okay? And it's going to take a long time for them to build all these things, okay, and get all these things in place. But, again, time to them doesn't mean anything. But that doesn't mean that they're not doing other things in the United States to change the law. Okay? Now there, in those communities, it's all what? It's all Sharia. Okay? But we can't change it all Sharia in the United States, so what do? We'll just do it one thing at a time. Okay? And so that's what they're doing. All right? Yes? Oh, yeah, you know, well, you know, they're very discreet. They go in, they just start buying up the property, you know. And before you know it, you know, here you are, you've been in the community for 30 years, but you look around and guess what? 19 of your neighbors are Muslims, right? And they talk Muslim, talk Arabic. They're at each other. They don't hardly acknowledge you, you know.
And then you decide to sell out too?
Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah. And if you don't, they'll wait till you die, won't they? And then they'll just buy your house then, you know. And so they're patient people, okay? Because we sit here and think, well, why haven't they attacked the United States, right? It's been since 9/11. Well, guess what?
This is an attack.
They'll just be patient, won't they?
Silently winning.
And then there's a stealth jihad going on in the United States, okay? Let's talk about these others. Yes, real quick.
Yeah, all right, but you know what that was said.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Yes, sir.
I think it should be pointed out that Detroit has a lot of empty houses because the economy is really bad there.
Sure.
They're pretty much bankrupt.
Right. And So it's easy to purchase places. There's other people doing that same thing, not Muslims. I heard this on the news the other day. A lot of your initial college graduates, okay, that are kind of yuppie type people, they're going into some of our communities, and some of the downtowns have been, you know, just left, and so the property's cheap. And so here they are, first jobs, but they're making pretty good money, $70,000, $80,000. And they just go in and buy tons of property down there, renovate it all, and guess what? Next thing you know, it's all yuppie down there. Okay? And so they have a similar concept in mind, but you know, it's not to overthrow the nation. Okay? All right, let's show a few things. I know these are little, but I had to put them up there, so squint. Okay? Just kind of squint. Folks, like I said, law by law, little by little, they're trying to change things over to Sharia. Okay? In Dearborn, Michigan, there is a KFC that has advertised big on the front, serving halal chicken. Okay? Now, folks, halal, that is food prepared in harmony with the dietary laws of Islam. Okay? So, you know, you're Muslim, you can't eat any kind of fried chicken. Okay? And right underneath Colonel Sanders, it says, halal chicken, original or crispy. That's true. I'm not, you know, funny, but I'm not making that up. That's true. Okay? And so, who are they catering to? The Muslims. Okay? And so, okay, good. Look here. We've already changed the restaurant a little bit. Not all the way. They still serve the other chicken. You don't have to buy the halal. But if you want, you can get it. Okay? There's the first one. Watch this one, folks. In Boulder County, Colorado, a woman was arrested, and they were going to take her mugshot, and you know what she said? I can't take off my veil, my burqa. Now you think about that. You're going to take a mugshot, and that's all you got staring at you. Okay? Now, that was overthrown, and they made her take off the veil, and she got a mugshot. Okay? But what's the point? She tried. And it's just a little thing, isn't it? That's just a little thing. But see, there are some of them who have enough guts that they will oppose anything, okay, if it conflicts with Sharia. Notice this next one, okay? Fortson High School in Dearborn, Michigan. Now, I've already told you about this one, okay? Ramadan was in August. What can you not do during the month of Ramadan? Can't eat or drink during the day. Well, August, folks, that's a long, hot day, right? You've been playing high school football. You have 2-a-days in August, don't you? So guess what? They didn't want their boys playing in the heat of the day. So they went to the school and said, look, we got some Muslims on your team, and they're in the month of Ramadan fasting, and this is not good for them to be practicing ball out here all day long. So they changed the practice from 11 o'clock at night 4 o'clock in the morning during the month of Ramadan. Can you imagine being a parent and catering to that? Get a letter sent home from school. Well, we're going to change practice times. We're going to practice at 11 o'clock at night. You can come pick up your kid at 4 in the morning. Oh, by the time I get to sleep, I got to go get the kid again. You know what? And who's going to stay and watch the practice? Unbelievable.
Why not just say, no, my child. This is not good for my child either. I mean, my child is not good for my child getting from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning. And now we have a confusion. So now let's say, listen, man, I don't think you should just give in to them and just say, hey, we're going by your rules just because.
See that? Look where that means. That's Dearborn, Michigan. You ain't going to win that battle. They tell you, move, you can go down to high, you can go down to another high school if you want to. But we Muslims control this school. Folks, that's the way they look at it. We're now in control. Okay? Decision's been made. Half the board is what? 75% of the board is what? Muslim. We made the decision. Unbelievable, isn't it? I'm telling you, folks, they push this stuff. Look at this. April 27, 2009, right here in Florida. House of Representatives opened with an imam saying a prayer. What does that tell the Islamic community? Yeah, we accept you. Come on in. Say a prayer for us. Who do you think he's praying to? He ain't praying our God. He's praying to Allah. You know him? But we allowed it right here in Florida. Real sunshiny, isn't it? Look at this. Schools are beginning to celebrate Muslim holidays. Oh boy, more days off. Okay? Because you see, Muslims are now what? A big part of our society. And so we need to honor the Muslims, don't we? So we give them a couple more days off. And folks, what do they start taking away? They have to take away. They got to go to school 180 days, right? So they got to do what? They got to take away some days, don't they? So what? A lot of times, one of the days that they'll get is they'll get that Friday between Thanksgiving and the weekend. Okay? Yeah, you're off Thanksgiving, but guess what? You got to go right back to school on Friday. Well, why are you doing that? Because we just put a Muslim holiday in over here. Okay? Crazy, isn't it? But it's coming. And it may, you know, it can come to our schools at any time. Okay, Glenn?
Is it Friday their holy day?
Friday is their holy day. In the afternoon. Late afternoons. It is. Okay? Folks, this one right here is interesting. Okay? This was reported in the 2011 edition of USA Today. There was an article entitled, "The 99 Aspires to Teach Muslim Practices." The title of it is, "The 99 Unbound." Okay? These are cartoon figures. Okay? It's a cartoon movie. It's what an animated movie. And entitled "The 99." There's going to be 99 installations of it. Anybody getting 99 yet? Anybody picked up on 99 yet? 99 names for God. And those names represent a characteristic of God. And each one of these 99 take on one of those names and one of those characteristics of guess who? Allah. And this film was shown at the New York Film Festival. Unbelievable, isn't it? Notice the D point there. The animated feature of the 99 will be unveiled to American audiences on October 2nd. When did the article come out? 2011. It's gone. It's been done. In the next to the last paragraph we read, but he also has an admirer in President Obama, a comic lover who gave a shout out to the 99 last year during the presidential summit on entrepreneurship. Okay? Go 99! Wow. Folks, I don't have time, and we're way over, okay? I don't have time to go into every segment of society that these people are in, okay? So let me just do it real fast. They're in our banks. Okay, our banking system is having to come up with what is known as Sharia compliant finances. Okay, so it's already there in many banks, like Bank of America. They already have it. Okay, it's in our workplaces. Okay, all these things that I'm putting out here to the side, like Sharia compliant finance, workplace Religious Freedoms Act. You go ahead and just type those into the computer and look up the information on these things, okay? Because this took place right here, this Workplace Religious Freedoms Act took place in New York. Okay? Giving Islam a lot of freedoms that they need in the workplace. It's in our schools, okay? Eliminating everything negative about Islam and implementing everything that was good about Islam in our textbooks. Okay, we've already talked about C-Scope. Remember that? One evening I introduced the fact that a Texas teacher had gotten some of her students to dress up in their burqas and had several readings from the Quran. Okay, this is a directive of C-Scope to be practiced within our school systems. Okay, and so what are they doing? Tolerance of what? Tolerance of Islam, right? This is not that bad. This is just a different way they dress. And here's their book. Listen to their book, right? And so you read it and you kind of get desensitized to all this stuff. Folks, it's in our courts. Okay? It's in our courts. I gave you a court case. You go read about that court case right there. Very, very interesting, okay? Hussein versus Malik. This was a mother versus a father. Okay. Mother was here. Father was in Pakistan, I believe that's where he was. They divorced. Who gets custody? No, not in the United States of America. If the mother cannot be proven incompetent, and if she can take care of that child in the United States of America, the law says the mother gets the child. Isn't that right? I mean, that's what our law says. But that's not Sharia law. Sharia law says what? Daddy gets custody. Guess what the courts did? Gave custody to the dad. He took the kid away from the mom, and he had custody. The dad was an alcoholic and abusive, and he still got the kid. Why? Because Sharia law. Oh, we don't want to go against Sharia law. Not for the family.
The U.S. federal court recognized that.
Yes, sir. Gave the dad. In that court case right there. Yes, sir.
We just must give up.
Huh?
We just must open that.
Okay. Our homes. Okay. Now, what should have been done, this should have been known about, and every citizen of the United States should have jumped up and pitched a fit. Okay? But see, it's too late, isn't it? It's already been done, and we didn't even know about it. And that's the way a lot of this stuff is, folks. Our homes, okay? Folks, there's in these Muslim communities, okay, these enclaves, polygamy is being practiced. Okay, in many of those homes. And also, honor killings, okay? Are going on a regular basis as well. There's two other areas I didn't put up there, and I should have, and you can just write them in. Number one, military. Folks, in the military code, there are no negative references whatever to Islam anymore. Okay? None. And the instructors cannot instruct with any negativism about Islam. In the military. Okay? You can try it. But guess what? They'll move you. You won't be teaching anymore. Okay? And you can add government. Okay? You go home and you start studying how many Muslims are in influential positions of power within our government today. It's scary, folks. Scary. Sir?
What you're saying is 100% correct. If you remember here just a few months ago, our Board of Public Instruction here in Jackson Educational just hired one to be the superintendent of the school board in Duval County here.
There you go.
And he's already in, so the next thing you're going to see
sure.
I mean, we're our worst enemy.
Oh, yeah, we are. Absolutely.
There's also a Muslim who has been taken into the vigilante a few months ago, and they have been human rights commission to Jacksonville.
Okay.
And I understand he was originally listed as a terrorist, and he was on the FBI list on wanted.
Wow.
But he says,
right here in Jacksonville. Man, we got our own problems, folks. We don't have to go to the national scene, do we? Yeah, you're right.
What you have in this, the first part of this thing, it says that this religion literally takes over the government. Mm-hmm. It will eventually take over our government.
Sure.
This country. Why?
They don't.
Either they know it or they're completely blind. In fact, this is what these people are doing.
See, we advertised this seminar, folks, to all the churches of Christ in the whole town and out, okay? And we advertised to every church on the beach, okay? It didn't matter, you know, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, every church on the beach. And we have 35 in attendance. Okay? This is why they can do what they're doing. Nobody cares. Nobody's interested. Nobody understands. Oh, yes, sir. And it's going to be way too late.
We're going to be squashed. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to say, hey, what happened?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think a lot of this kind of stems from a lot of these people.
Absolutely.
And that kind of allows people to, oh, we're accepting of everybody.
Right.
When you get a different understanding of their kind of viewpoint, a lot of this stuff can get set up.
Absolutely.
It's easy to get set up because they're not following the law of, well, as the Bible teaches. Mm-hmm. As the Bible teaches how Christians should be, what we should do, and we should try to tear down these strongholds.
Right.
But yet they allow them.
Sure. And we're going to talk about that more next week when we talk about Islam's view of the United States. Larry?
They come in under the guise of religious freedom.
There you go. Absolutely. And that's where everybody just views them as a religion. And we've got to somehow get that thinking out of the mind of people. This is a government system that will take over the nation. And that leads to our conclusion, folks. Sharia law opposes the law of Christ, folks. And because of that, we have to fight Sharia law, don't we? Okay. But notice also, Sharia law opposes the laws of the United States. And if it comes in, we will give up whatever freedoms we have right now. You know that? Now, I have given you two things in addition to it, and I'm not going over those, but I want you to see how Sharia law is anti-constitutional, and you can read those two things, okay? The first one takes big principles that are here in our nation and shows how Sharia law conflicts with it, and the other one is entitled Sharia Law versus the Constitution. Okay, and it just takes various articles and shows what the article says and how Sharia law opposes that. Okay, freedom of religion, right? I mean, freedom of speech, but you can't talk bad about who? About a Muslim.